Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to eastonroofing.com for more.
Welcome back into the program. This is Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing. And you know, last night, I don't know if it was your house, the storms rolled in. There was hail in my neighborhood. Now, a lot of companies will be knocking on people's doors and using those high-pressure sales tactics, telling everyone they got to have a new roof. But that's not how they do it at Easton Roofing. If you think you might have some storm damage, just call Joe Spiker up at 913-257-5426. 913-257-5426 with Easton Roofing. It's always a free inspection and estimate with Easton, and they're in good standing with all the insurance companies, which is a key when you're talking about storm damage. So if you think you might have some damage last night, give Easton Roofing a call at 913-257-5426 for Easton Roofing. Integrity matters, and integrity always matters with my good friend Danny Klinkscale, who joins us at a socially distant location. Hello, Danny. How you doing today, buddy?
Yes, I am a socially distant location. By the way, I wanted to note, I did talk to Joe, and one of the things he wanted to emphasize is that it's important to get things checked out so that the insurance gets in place, but there's no reason to be jumping on things like yesterday, because hail damage doesn't immediately cause your roof to leak. It's something that weakens the roof on down the line. So talk to the people at Easton Roofing, and they're all COVID-19 set up. You won't even have to see a person. They can do it all digitally, and some of these door knockers are coming around and physically just coming to your front door. Who wants that? So there's a lot of things that Easton Roofing can do better for you during this critical time than many of the other door knocker companies can do for you. And I was literally planning, Lebo, to be doing this segment from Shawnee Mission Park, but I think it's going to be all right. But just as I was getting to Midland Drive, a few spritzes of rain were hitting my windshield, and I'm like, that's all I need to be sitting out on a park bench and have a pop-up shower come up. So instead, I am in my office at home, definitely socially distant from all right now, that's for sure.
We got a lot of sports things to talk about, Danny. Where would you like to start? Would you like to start with the Major League Baseball coming to this little agreement today with some of the new draft rules? The NFL saying they're still going to have the draft, or kind of this financial thing, more of a financial crisis that's looked like it's going to happen with the NCAA. Where do you want to start?
Well, I like all those topics, but one thing I wanted to note at first is it seems that day by day sports, which was really the engine that drove the beginning of closing things and eventually getting to, you know, staying at home and things like that, now seems to be the barometer for what we're seeing as not real soon are we going to be getting back to normalcy. You're seeing things that are way, way out being postponed or canceled. The U.S. Open tennis tournament, which is basically a Labor Day event, has been moved as far as the date is concerned. So I think right now the sports world, and those are all interesting sports topics, and I definitely want to get to them, but what I think we see here is that sports, which was the original engine, I think, and a very important thing in getting people to realize that, hey, we can't gather in groups of 17,000, and we're going to play in empty arenas, and then we're not going to play at all, and it happened so fast. But everybody's hope then was, you know, we're setting dates in baseball for the middle of May, and we're, you know, thinking that you can play the Masters, and we're thinking that you can play the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship in San Francisco. And now what we're seeing is events that aren't going to happen for months, including the Olympics, of course, this week, are being moved, postponed, or canceled. I mean, it's unfortunately not very good news in our world.
I think a couple of things, and we're, of course, talking to Danny Klinkscale here on Danny Unleashed on the program. One of those things, like when you think about the U.S. Open, it's in New York City, right?
Yes,
and that is definitely one of the hardest hit, if not the hardest hit places in America, for sure, is New York City.
And so is the U.S. Open golf tournament.
Right.
It's a Westchester County.
Those are certainly big factors as far as those things go. I do feel this, that, you know, I think there are different places in America where you probably could play some sports, right? Now, the hard part, and that's what Major League Baseball is talking about. Obviously, there's Major League Baseball teams in New York. They're maybe coming to agreement that it's a possibility that they could play some neutral site baseball games and maybe do some things like that or play them in front of no fans. Obviously, sports is not nearly as good if there's no fans there. It's not as much fun. I mean, there have been times where, you remember the old line from Ned Yost in the, you know, the pennant run in 2014 when there was, I don't know, announced 11,000 people out there on a Tuesday night when the Alex Gordon hit a walk-off home run, when he said, "That sure been nice if some people would have seen this game." I mean, that was about as socially distant as you could be for a Major League Baseball game, but at least there was probably 7,000 people at the game. They could be there. They just weren't there. I watched a couple of these Italian soccer games for a little bit when they were playing without fans in the stands. It was super weird. It didn't feel like regular sports, but if it satisfies the fact that it gives people to watch something on television or listening to it on the radio and the rights fee money comes through to the leagues, I do think most of them would like to have some money coming in, but it's just as easy as everyone agreeing, because there's owners who say, "Let's play in front of nobody," and players are like, "Wait a second, man. I don't know about this. This is not going to be easy, and it's probably going to be different in every sport on whether or not they end up starting something up with or without fans."
Yeah, it's a world we've never seen. I mean, they played that baseball game in Baltimore a couple of years ago with no fans because
it's
social unrest, yeah. And it was weird to watch. I mean, it really was. And, you know, the soccer games, as you noted, sometimes soccer games have been closed in the past due to hooliganism, and so that's not unheard of in the world of soccer, but still it's odd. And LeBron James coming out not only right at the beginning, then he had to change his tune when the NBA thought it still might play, but even in an interview yesterday saying that what would that be? I mean, he has to be open to the fact that they might do it, and he's not bigger than the league, although the players in the NBA come closest to being bigger than the league than any other sport. But he's like, you know, his quote was, "When you go on the road, you're playing against your opponent for sure, but you want to kick the other team's fans' asses." You know, and that's just a big part of sports. Now, some people will say, I think it was Bill Self, when they thought they were going to play the games before no fans, saying, "Hey, this is going to be like skins and shirts in the park." And that's all well and good, but these guys are used to an audience. And I think the quality of play would probably be focused. The coaches would have to adjust because it would be dead quiet, and when they were giving their instructions, I think that we probably are going to see games played in front of empty stadiums to get things rolling and to keep TV contracts in place, and money drives so many things, but it certainly will be a weird world, that's for sure.
I did watch, I guess it was maybe last Friday or something, I was clicking around and there was some Aussie Rules football. They're playing Aussie Rules football with no fans, and it was weird. I mean, you know, you hear everyone yelling and there's just no one there. It's weird, but the games, at least last weekend, were going on that way. I do think some sports are more likely to be able to do it. I think golf could do it because they want everyone to be quiet anyways, right, when you're actually hitting a shot. And they're so spread out, you can be socially distant. If you test your caddy and you test your golfer, and, you know, if you don't have it, then you can certainly go out there and play golf in front of no one and maybe get that part done. I think NASCAR is certainly a chance to have that, and they were one of the later sports to say they were going to try to race with no fans, and then they acquiesced like everyone else, and now they're going to do this iRacing thing, which is they're going to put it on Big Fox on Sunday. We're going to have Clint Bowyer on a little bit later today. I mean, they're excited about this. I mean, they had a million people watching FS1 last week. So I do think there are some sports that will possibly be able to do that a little bit before, and I think golf and racing are a couple of them that might work. Do you agree with that?
I think so. You know, they were going to play the Players' Championship before no fans and before they changed it in 3 hours. And you watch sometimes, you know, and I'm the one who does this, although I do it less because I watch more soccer now on the weekends, but you'll see some European tour events in the, you know, early rounds or whatever, and there's hardly anybody there. Or you'll watch a Corn Ferry Tour tournament or I've watched European women's tournaments, and you're like, there's eight fans there. So, I mean, this is not unheard of in the world of golf. And as you say, quiet is something that is expected anyway. The sport itself is not fueled by the chants of the crowd, except at places like Phoenix for one day or something like that. The Masters is played in a very respectful environment. So, yes, I think if golf's probably very likely to be able to do that without that much impact and without it looking and sounding that strange on our televisions, which is part of the issue, no question about that. So I do agree with that. And by the way, the U.S. Tennis Open is only considering moving dates after the French Open has postponed theirs, but so it's not officially done yet, just to make that clarification. But I think we're just all headed in that direction. And I think that the line that is being used by Scott Van Pelt is, it doesn't cost us anything to be optimistic, which I agree with, and I try to be that way, but I know in the back of my mind it's really a bunch of crap, that this is going to be a long, long process. And I think if we're doing things normally in any particular way by August 1st, I think we've done pretty well. And that was what you were talking about with Dennis Dodd as far as college football is concerned. And when we really are going to feel some real, true, serious, crushing impact is if the NFL is affected in any way, because the NFL has been the one bastion for us right now of a place to go for normalcy. Basically, everything about NFL coverage right now is normal. Now, for the NFL teams, it's not that normal. They have to do conference calling, and they can't have players in for physicals, and they have to have doctors, electronically send things in. But that, that's their problem. For us, there's the signing of the free agents. The draft is going to be held on time, although that's a controversial thing. And by the way, have you ever seen anything so NFL-ish and so power mad-ish as Roger Goodell announcing that the NFL draft is going to be held, and then the same memo to the team saying any criticism of this particular move is counterproductive and is subject to fines and suspension?
I think I probably mean, get that in some more sports. We just don't hear the memos.
Yeah, maybe we don't hear the memos.
Or people don't ask. I can remember when all the conference upheaval was going, they would tell everyone to be united and all this stuff, and then crazy David Bourne would go out there and say some stuff. So I think that's the way most people want it. And here's the deal with the NFL draft. I know they want to have their party, right? They want to have the big party, and they want it to look great on TV. But I personally, at this point, have no problem with the NFL having their draft and doing it the old way they used to do it. All kinds of people are working from home. If you can't, text your draft pick in instead of writing it on a card and handing it to someone, then you're way behind the times. They can definitely have their draft. They just can't have an eye-to-eye in the same room meeting with someone, although most of these teams met with all of these players when they had the actual combine. So the combine went off. There was no problem there. They had that. That's not a problem. But, so what if you can't have the guy come into your office for 6 hours and visit you then? Everyone's in the same boat, man. So I don't have a problem with them trying to have their draft, because I do think there is a side of sports that helps a portion of the country feel like things are kind of happening, that they're regular, I guess.
That was one side of that argument. You're right, I was going to point out both sides of the argument, and you covered one very well, so I don't have to. The other part is, though, should a league like the NFL be acting as if everything is normal? Should life be completely normal? Well, we're just going about our business in a normal way. And the argument for it is the one you gave, which is that this provides something for people who are stuck at home to wrap their arms around and get ready for their fantasy leagues and things like that. Now, they don't necessarily know if those fantasy leagues are going to start up on time or anything else like that, but they at least can plan. They will have players on teams. They will be able to hold a draft. So there are, there are a couple sides to it. I think most of the NFL general managers and their objections are not, I think, philosophical. I think they are more, hey, this organization over here might get the edge because, certain things are in place for them and not in place for us, and this isn't fair, or whatever. Who's to say? But I agree with you. Most everybody is having to do their work in a different way, and if the NFL has to do that, then so be it.
And I know, I hope at this point, a couple of weeks in or more, depending on where you live, to what's going on here in America, that even the people who live their entire lives around their own thing, whatever it is, whether it's you're an NFL assistant coach and you've got to do this, or you're a head college basketball coach at a Power Five school that, you know, should be doing something at this point right now, I hope you understand enough that to say, hey, things are going to be different now. We're going to just have to get through this and see what goes down. I think we're there yet. If anyone's complaining, they're not doing it publicly, which is probably a good thing. And I think that's a step forward, I guess. It's a baby step forward, but it's a step forward.
I agree with that. And I think that, I hear more rumbling and just moving around at a social distance, and if you're running an errand and stuff like that, from, I think people in big cities get it. My daughter lives in Brooklyn. Her roommates have moved back home. She is completely, it's horrible. She went there and she's been having a wonderful time, going to acting school and working at Starbucks and living an urban life. And then now all of a sudden she is alone, completely alone in a gigantic city, no school, no work. Thankfully, Starbucks is a good company and they are paying their employees. But, things like that occur and people have to do a lot of things like that. So nobody else should be complaining about little things. And, she is obviously, my two daughters are in the belly of the beast areas of the world. One's in New York City or Brooklyn, basically, and the other one's in San Francisco. So, I'm living that type of thing every day. So, yes, people trying to band together and do something for the greater good. But I do hear quite a bit of grumbling from average folk that, maybe this is over that. I saw quotes in the paper yesterday, a beautiful day in Kansas City, and there was a big article in the Star about how Loose Park was absolutely mobbed and people didn't seem to be in any way concerned with social distancing, a grandmother sending her grandbaby down the slide right after another kid went right down the slide, and she's going, I think this thing is overdone. I think there's plenty of that. I think we don't see it covered that much because people don't want to show that kind of ignorance, and I think some of the people who believe that don't want to say it out loud. So it's really complicated. It's really complicated.
There's no doubt about that. I do also think I saw some of those pictures. Here's what I've seen. I've gone out for a couple of walks when it's actually nice enough. It's been pretty crappy weather-wise.
Right.
So yeah. I've got home last week maybe and went for a walk sometime in the late afternoon, and I was happy to see people outside. Now, we were walking around. We weren't close to anyone. It was my daughter and I, and we were walking 6 feet apart, and I saw people out of it. It was good to see people outside because I saw teenagers outside, and I never see teenagers outside when I go for a walk. They're normally inside staring at their phones or doing whatever, and then they were like out, and I'm like, well, that was nice. How about that? There's some people outside. But then now there's too many people outside, right? Now you're too close together. It's hard to kind of win this battle. I think that Kansas City, from where I've been, I've driven in here to work, because we're an essential business. We can stay open. We are socially distancing ourselves. We have a lot of hosting from home. We have to have a board op in here. I've been in here doing some port things and getting stuff done and hosting the show today. So we've got people around. We're being socially distant. I think Kansas City's done a pretty nice job. I mean, every day I've driven to work, I've generally driven at a time that's somewhat rush hour-y. Today was a little bit earlier. It was more in the heart of rush hour, what it should have been, and it just feels like it's like Christmas Eve or something out there. I mean, there's just not cars on the road. So I think people are doing a good job of not going out, maybe go to work or wherever it is. I went to Costco over here the other day because I needed some kitty litter because the cats continue to pee and poop. They don't care about the coronavirus. And there was like 30 people in Costco. Now, there was a big mob of people 2 weeks ago, but I think some people have calmed down now. They're going about this the right way. So I'm seeing that as a good thing and a good sign. So hopefully, if we can't flatten the curve for the entire country, if we can flatten the curve for Kansas City, I care more about that than everywhere else. And that's selfish and bad on my part. But I don't have anybody who lives anywhere else. This is kind of like where I am. I want our community to be as healthy as we can. I'd like everyone to be healthy. But it's so much easier to socially distance yourself in Kansas City. I mean, we don't get on subway cars. We don't take buses to work. We don't, live too many people in 40 foot or 40 story buildings with monstrous shared air conditioning units, and everyone, you know, pushing the same button on the elevator. I mean, there are people who live in some apartments here. We've got some high-rise things downtown now and stuff. But it's a small percentage of the population. Most everybody lives in a house or apartment where they walk in their own door, and they get in their own car, and they drive somewhere, and they sit not too close to somebody. So I think we've got a good chance in Kansas City, if we're smart and we're diligent, to be okay.
I think that we're probably now going to do about as good a job as we can do across the country. I think in the major cities, they just see how horrendous the problem is, and so they're really abiding by it. My daughter says it's, you know, she lives in suburban San Francisco, and she says it's a ghost town there. I mean, there's nobody on the streets, and she lives more like between San Francisco and San Jose. But so I think those people are, and yes, here there's just naturally more space. That's what we have. I think we have a lot of people who are employed in situations where they are able to work remotely. Unfortunately, the way our economy is structured, the people who need the work that is the most dangerous are generally the people who can't afford not to go to work. Now, be it Amazon warehouse workers or people like that, or, you know, healthcare workers at a higher professional level. But a lot of those people probably, if given the choice, a real choice where they could live their lives and pay their rent and, you know, pay their kids daycare and have their kids in daycare so they can go work, might want to stay at home and not be around 30 or 40 people in a warehouse or whatever. But they have to make that horrible choice to live that life because they have to. And that's the shame of it. But I do agree with you that, you just see it in the maps. I mean, now Missouri is in the focus as one of the states that you'll see highlighted in the map for having, but they have Kansas, Missouri has two very large cities on each side of the state. So for a Midwestern state, it's a little bit different. But the map generally will be Massachusetts, New York, California, Missouri now, maybe one or two others. And then the rest of the map is not highlighted. I mean, half the deaths from coronavirus have come in New York City alone. So I agree with you, sir, and that's probably why the attitudes are different across the country as well.
Yeah, and just, you know, it's just what it is. Now, and since people have stopped traveling around the country more, so you hope that's the whole idea of social distancing and not traveling, that you don't bring it in and go around and carry it to someone else. I mean, I'm sure you read the story about the Champions League game that was in Milan in Italy.
Right. Yeah.
And the hotspot in Europe is Italy, right? So somewhere the virus got in there, whether it came from China directly because of travel and all that stuff. But the northern Italy was already a hotspot. So then they had a Champions League match between them and Valencia, a Spanish team. So people from Spain came to Milan for this game. They went to bars. They went to restaurants. If you weren't at the game, you were somewhere watching the game. That was 40,000 people, probably more people, gathered in pubs and, you know, plazas and things like that to watch the game. And so sports spread it around a little bit too. So the people from Valencia went back to Spain. Well, what's another hot spot in Europe right now? Spain. You know, so, you know, sports is kind of been a bell cow on like what to do or what not to do. But it's also, unfortunately, when you gather people together like that in close quarters and people want to watch games, they're coming from all around to do that. It's been a rough thing, but it's been a nice, I guess, a warning sign for people to cool their jets on getting everyone back together right away. And that's, you got to look for the shining or the, you know, the silver lining on some of these things.
I agree. I mean, about every 3 days I do this, I actually Google any good news about coronavirus. In general, there'll be some article, they'll say 10 good stories about the coronavirus where, you know, some place will be turning the corner or their hospital visits will be down or something. You know, you just need a dose of that every now and then.
Yeah, no doubt. Danny Klingscale is our guest. It's Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing. You know, the storms rolled in last night, and they did a lot of damage. There was definitely hail in my neighborhood. Easton Roofing is one of the companies you can trust. They're not going to come knock on your door and tell you you need a new roof. Give them a call if you think you might have some storm damage from last night. Call Joe Spiker or his team up at Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426. That's 913-257-5426. They do it in the socially distant way. They will not come knock on your door. They can go up and check your roof out, take pictures. You can do it all without contact. It's always a free inspection and estimate with Easton Roofing, where integrity matters.
The program with Soren Petro.
You will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Thought we were going into deadlines for a second. I kind of dig that too. How many times in the last 50 years has every major league team opened on the same day?
How many years?
How many times in the last 50 years has every major league team opened on the same day?
None.
That is correct. Zero. Would have taken place yesterday for the first time since 1968.
I nailed it.
None yet.
But things get rained out, or, you know, if you have any clue on that.
Well, sometimes they just, I mean, they just stagger them, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know they did that. They started doing that quite a while ago, but I bet maybe 75, 77. I think in that area they probably were all scheduled for an opening day.
This colded out or rained out.
This thing we got from Major League Baseball or somebody said that it was the first time since 68 that every team in Major League Baseball was scheduled to open on the same date.
Oh, scheduled to open on the same day. Okay.
It's 69 was the beginning of divisional play and added some teams too. So they probably started separating the whole thing out. See, you go back, there's a reason for everything, guys.
You see the dates, you kind of put together, you can kind of reverse engineer the possible reasons for it. Oh, yeah.
Danny Klinkscale is our guest. It's Danny Unleashed. Brought
you
by...
had a nice list there, Todd, so we can get to it, right?
Yeah, let's get to it right now. It's brought to you by Easton Roofing. Call Joe Spiker or his crew at Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426, because there were a lot of storms rolling through last night. If you think you got any damage at all, give them a call. It's a free estimate at Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Let's talk a little bit about Major League Baseball, since we were talking that Curtis is into the hour. Question was there. I mean, a lot of effects now with the draft that's going on because they haven't had a chance to watch some of these guys. They still want to have a draft, obviously. They're changing, you know, some of the dollar figures that they can actually give these kids this year who get drafted. They're trying to figure out what would a baseball season look like if it starts at this point or that point or whatever. What are your thoughts now about where MLB is, Danny, with some of these agreements that came out with the MLBPA and the owners today?
Well, it seems like baseball really wanted to make sure that they were a sport that was not seen as doing any bickering whatsoever. They gave the players a full year of service time, no matter how many games are played. That guarantees that players like Mookie Betts and J.L. Realmuto and several other key players, if they had lost any service time or half a year of service time or something, they wouldn't have been free agents. They gave them that. Then they came to an agreement on the draft type of issues. So there seemed to be a spirit of cooperation there. I think baseball's in an unusual situation from the fact that they play so many games. I think they do have the benefit that we'll be rolling into summer weather, which should help all of this too. But they're going to have some really difficult decisions to be made with them. There's no way. And some of the things that are being floated, I think, like playing baseball into December and at the back end playing in neutral stadiums, I don't like that at all. I think they're just going to have to come to grips with the fact that they're going to have to play a short season and then playoffs. And you know, maybe in some regards they'll figure out that wasn't so bad, although the baseball financial engine is driven by the fact that, especially now where their television ratings are not great nationally, they are great generally on the local level. But I think that they're making very good decisions now. They're going to have more difficult decisions to come when it comes to scheduling and things like that. And then maybe in that case, we'll see a little less agreement and a little more contentious activity between the two sides.
Yeah, one of the reasons that the local ratings are pretty good is there's not much else on, right? So they end up being kind of the only show that's happening. And I know from looking at the old Fox Sports KC numbers, they would just crush it. Like on a Sunday afternoon, people are just home. Royals were on. They were playing pretty well. Well, they wouldn't crush it if they're playing baseball in December and on a Sunday afternoon. I don't think they want to get into the mix of competing. It's already kind of rough enough to compete with the National Football League, even during the playoffs. You know, you'll look up and there'll be a game on a Sunday, and you're like, I don't know, man. That might be fifth on the list of things people want to watch. This is just going to be – it's already going to be a really weird thing. We know, obviously, for the NBA and for NHL, because they're supposed to be playing and they're not playing. MLS was underway. They're not playing. And Major League Baseball was about to get underway and should be underway now, and they're not playing. It's already going to be weird. So they're going to have to find out some way to get it done. I think it is good that the owners and players have agreed to not bicker too much, because that wasn't going to be very good. And, you know, however far this pushes out, I people have never wanted to mess with the National Football League and football. They're going to start getting pushing themselves out into there. We've had sports for the last 5 or 6 years trying to get out of the NFL's way. Yeah. Golf, moving majors, you know, and, you know, trying to get those things done. Man, I don't know. I know people want answers. I say this a lot. In today's world, people want to know what's happening right now. Tell me what's happening. Is the NFL going to have the draft? Are people going to be there? Are they going to have games? Is Major League Baseball going to start? When are the tests going to be here? Where's my ventilator, right? I mean, they want to know right now. And there's just not a whole lot of easy answers where you can just say, here's the deal. This is exactly what's going to happen. I mean, they passed this House bill today, after the Senate passed it 2 days ago, and there's going to be lots of questions about that. We're not going to have those answers today either. And that thing just got passed. It's just hard to get answers right now.
People, you know, this, we always talk about how it's, you know, right now society, and this has just changed everything. You have to be patient. You have to realize, you know, it feels like, how long does it feel since we were ordered to stay at home?
2 years.
A month, 2 years, whatever. It's been days. It's been days, and it's going to be a lot of days. Yeah. So, you know, that's why it's so stressful for people. People want to be able to have answers. They readily get answers. What can you do if you want an answer to anything? You can just Google it. Well, you can't Google this. You can Google somebody's opinion on it, but that's all you're going to get. And opinions are completely uninformed many times, or just hopeful. I mean, if people say things today, and this is not political in any way, but, I mean, the President of the United States could not have believed that he could get the economy rolling by Easter. He couldn't have. I mean, you know, whatever you think of being the man, he could not have really believe that. I think he wanted to, you know, uplift some people or provide the economy with a jump when the stock market was down. But people, I think, sometimes these days just say things because they think if they say them, they can make them come true. And that's just not the case.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, we were down there at the Big 12, and, you know, until they told us there wasn't going to be a basketball game on that Thursday morning, even with no fans there, people thought there was going to be a basketball game, man. I mean, it's wishful thinking a lot of times. You want things to happen. You want it to be there, and you just can't wish some of this stuff away and make it go. I mean, you can try to, but we're going to be in this for the long haul, and there's going to be a lot of changes in a lot of ways of society, and we're only really talking about the sports side of it. I mean, there are so many tentacles of this in real life happening out there for real people and what it's going to be for them that we can't fast forward. Sometimes, you know, you always want to fast forward through the bad stuff. I mean, that's the way it is. You want to fast forward through a 100-loss baseball season. You want to fast forward through, you know, a last-place basketball season. But you never want to fast forward. Well, sometimes you want to fast forward through the good stuff just to get to the tournament, right? Let's get to the playoffs. This one you can't fast forward as much as you want to. You can't do it. And we'll just have to kind of find our way through it. And you know, like you said, you could Google a lot of stuff up. You can find anyone. You can find something that's going to make you feel good, whether it's true or not. You can always find something.
Right. Well, one thing that just popped into my head that will be a benefit eventually is the fact that this Royals season was about the least anticipated baseball season in a long, long time. Not only the combination of the fact that the Royals were not expected to be good, that expectation was there the year before, you know, last year, but also the Chiefs just won a championship. People are consumed by that. When baseball comes around again, I think people know the Royals aren't going to be very good, but there's probably going to be less games played. They're going to be excited to get the game started, and say they're playing an 88-game schedule, and the Royals go out and go 10-3 to start the season. Well, 10-3 is a lot better when you're playing 88 than when you're playing 162. So maybe the Royals will be in the rare position of getting a benefit. But one of my overarching thoughts in all of this is the NFL doesn't need good fortune, and they have been the most fortunate entity imaginable in about any enterprise. Forget just sports. The timing of their season, the timing of the virus, couldn't have been more perfect for them, and they don't need it, and they got it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how it so far has kind of worked out for them, because who knows how long this thing will go, because, I mean, it's just, we don't know yet. We don't know, but you're right. I mean, when the first inkling I had of much of anything about this was actually the day before I was flying to go to the Super Bowl, which was January 25th. I think I left on the 26th. I got a text from my daughter saying, hey, you maybe want to get a mask. This coronavirus thing's starting to come around. You know, she's like a biology student, right? So she's like watching these things, and I'm like, yeah, it probably is, but I don't think anyone from, you know, Wuhan, China is going to be on my plane to go to the Super Bowl. But who knows if they weren't on a plane somewhere, went on a plane somewhere and did all that, right? So that's where my thought was on January 25th. It was on my radar. By the time we flew back from the Super Bowl, which was February 3rd, we had a layover. And by the time I flew back, so it was like 7 days later, I noticed some TSA employees wearing masks and gloves. I mean, they're out there touching every single person's ID or whatever. I'm like, all right, well, the world changed a little bit in that little amount of time. And then it's changed more and more, and it's just continued to do that. But it's certainly something we're gonna live through, no doubt about that. It's Danny Unleashed right here on the program on Sports Radio 810, brought to you by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters.
The program with Soren Petro.
It's okay. I'll be all right. If you call a dead soul condemned to swim in a sea of bitter tears for the rest of his days, all right.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Todd Lebo in for Soren Petro, who is off today. We're wrapping up Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing. Those storms rolled in last night, waking people up around my neighborhood for sure. If you think you might have a little damage on your roof, call Joe Spiker or his crew over at Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426. Always a free inspection and estimate with Easton Roofing. They have great relationships with all the insurance companies, which is super important. If you think you've got some hail damage or storm damage, call Joe up at Easton Roofing, 913-257-5426, eastonroofing.com, Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. And Danny, we spent quite a bit of time earlier today talking about the NCAA and kind of the financial fallout. You know, Commissioner Bowlesby spoke yesterday on a conference call with us in the media about, you know, $6 million that they're going to miss out on from the Big 12 tournament. NCAA itself is not going to give out $600 million to its partners. It's $224 million. And this is going to be a major thing. It's a major reset, probably. And we're not talking about football yet, but even on the basketball side, this is a major reset on how much money that that these schools are going to get, and it's going to have far-reaching impacts. What are your thoughts of what we've seen early in this?
Well, I think that early on, what we see is what we talked about just before the break, is the complete unknown of the situation. I mean, if this goes a little faster than we think, or, you know, maybe at a pace that we initially thought was good, and we're up and playing college football as we expected by late August, then I think that a lot of the issues that potentially rise up go away. Because football generates so much of the money. Once you cut into the college football season in any way, be it an empty stadium or a shortened season, that's when I think the issues will rear up. I think what we have seen now will be, you know, speculation on what people saw and what they could wrap their arms around as possibilities, like, you know, spring football not being played and things like that. But if the financial engine of NCAA football is up and running as usual with a full 12-game schedule and playing on time in the late summer, then I think a lot of the question marks will be washed away. The questions will come if and when the season is compromised in any way, and that certainly seems like a possibility right now.
Danny Klingscale is our guest. And one of the things, Danny, as I was listening to the commissioner, and I went back and listened to, you know, again this morning, this part about the dollars and cents that struck me was he said $6.6 million for the Big 12 tournament, gone. Nothing out of that, right? I mean, they lost that. They thought they were going to get quite a bit less money out of, you know, obviously the funds from the NCAA. They had some good news stuff. They said, you know, the fact that there were a couple of teams in the New Year's Six bowl games, that's good news for the Big 12. That's more money for them. They got there. They also mentioned that they saved, I don't know, anywhere from $2 to $4 million maybe in costs by not hosting some of the championships they would have had this spring. Because there's no doubt that they lose money when they host some of these lesser sports championships. But they are sports championships, right? It's a big deal to have a, you know, baseball tournament in Oklahoma City. And it's a big deal to have a, you know, softball championship. But those things don't make money. So he put that, like, in the good news category, that they kind of winnowed some things down and saved some money on travel and the fact that everyone's working at home at the Big 12 office. My fear is if they realize that maybe you don't need to have a Big 12 championship in filling the sport. Well, maybe you don't need to have the sport. They're not all funded with full scholarships. In the end, this isn't the end of the world. For me, I'm not going to go play one of those sports. They're not sports that we talk about all the time. But to hundreds of kids throughout, you know, America, it's a chance to go to college for partial scholarship or whatever, just enjoy the competition that they've had. I think we might see some major fallouts from some of this stuff.
Yeah, I hope not. And I think maybe the chance that we won't is, first of all, as I said, playing the full college football season. But secondly, the fact that I think the communities within these leagues embrace these and they make money off them. The league might not, but you know, they pay a rights fee. Lots of people come to town, even if it's for softball. We're talking about, you know, maybe we're not talking about, you know, 100,000 people coming in, but, you know, a bunch of teams come in and stay in hotels, and those teams at least bring family and friends as fans down. So I think that has some positive impacts to it. But I think everything will be on the table if the big money maker gets compromised. And as I said, I'll just repeat it. I think that we won't see some of these doomsday scenarios if football goes off as, but I think all the things you say will be on the plate if we have a season that is shortened, not played, or what else. And I think also some of the things in other sports we're going to start to see maybe considered. Maybe the NBA just plays playoffs and it's super popular and they didn't even play a bunch of regular season games and nobody really cared. And they've already talked about changing their model a little bit and having a U.S. Open Cup type, or, you know, Champions League type of thing from soccer in the middle of the NBA season, maybe from teams around the world. So I think a lot of things that are going on where we see change could potentially create change. And just as you noted, in those cases, that potential certainly is there. Everything's on the table.
All right, Danny, before we let you go, we just have a minute left here. On a fun note, what's happening there with DannyClingscale.com? What are you watching? What are you out there reviewing? Have you spent some more time since there hasn't been basketball to watch? What's got your eye right now?
Well, the DannyClingscale.com goes on as usual. We do our usual sports on Monday and arts and leisure on Wednesday and Kansas City profiles on Friday. And great profile of the Thelma's Kitchen, the Pay What You Can restaurant is up today. But what I'm watching, you know, tomorrow morning, I'm just curious what the Premier League is going to roll out, because I have 10 years of Premier League goals of the season racked up on my DVR, and I've only watched three of them. You'd be surprised how monotonous it can get to watch great goals one after the other after about 15 or 20 minutes. I just hope they start playing old games, because I won't know what happened in a game in the Premier League from 2014.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Hey, Danny, we got to go, man. The top of the hour is here. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
Todd, it was always a pleasure, as usual.
All right, there's Danny Klingscale. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, what school has the longest current streak of Sweet 16 appearances? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.